All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Happy Tuesday, May 20th to you. Well, there's news, and my partner has got it. The University of Memphis has a commitment as of this morning. Looking forward to discussing it because got a little bit more Memphis in this one. It's one we had discussed that might happen, and my partner, John Martin, has certainly got the news. We are all here, John Martin, myself, Brad Carson, executive producer on the ones and twos, program director number one in the country. Big day. Truly is. Because the West Conference Finals about to start as well. Looking forward to that. Eastern Conference Finals will start up tomorrow, so it feels like all of a sudden we got lots of sports. And then these power conferences and what they're doing. I had to, Ross Dellinger from Yahoo has a very detailed story about some controls, right? That these power conferences intend to have. And I tell you what, you don't shape up, they'll evict you. Or at least that's the plan. We'll talk about that and how it relates to the local schools. But plenty to discuss today. How are you, gentlemen?
Doing great, man. Yeah, any day that a Memphis local comes back to Memphis is a good day. You know, I'm trying to live by a credence of make Memphis basketball again. Know what I mean? And although there are certainly more ways to do it than one, I think it has just always been sweeter here when a Memphis kid is involved and the program is good, right? You know, has not happened. You know, the last two tournament appearances. Well, I guess Malcolm was part of that.
It was a big part.
Yeah, yeah, and he had Chandler Lawson. So the second to last one, but the most recent one, obviously, as we know, not really as much local flavor. Again, that's fine. Like, if you're winning, it's fine. But, you know, again, it's just a little bit sweeter when there is a Memphis kid on that team. And Memphis is going to have two in this case. Not just Curtis Givens III, who committed today, but also Julian Thedford, right? I mean, so you've got multiple Memphis kids on this team, and I'm hopeful that you know, it results in a big year, you know, for Penny and the team, because I speak for everybody when I say we'd like to see more Memphis. So that's a big step in doing it. And here's the thing: we're going to catch up with Curtis Givens III here in just a minute. He committed to Memphis early this morning.
Excellent.
Picked Memphis over Miami. Was going to go to Ole Miss. Was in the process of setting up. Was in the process of setting up a visit, but decided, you know what? I'm ready to shut it down. I'm ready to just go ahead and do this thing to Memphis. Visited the Tigers last week, and so he decided he wanted to go ahead and make it official and commit to the Tigers. So we'll catch up with him in just a minute about that decision and sort of, because there are a lot of questions, right? Where does he fit? You know, he's a point guard. How is that going to work with Doug? What's the vision? You know, coming back home. So we'll get into all that with him in just a minute. Jessica Benz is going to join us at 11:25. And then we will talk to Jason Fitz at 1:25. So
full show.
That is the show. It is indeed a full show. You mentioned we got Western Conference Finals getting underway tonight. Ant-Man takes on SGA. The Thunder are 7.5 point favorites. We'll have to nail that down for the fade Brad purposes. But yes, it's a very busy day. And just sort of while we're waiting on CG3, the roster is coming, you know, interview. They certainly will probably try to add one more big, maybe two. I mean, they do have more scholarships, but I think personally, this is exactly what this roster needed. Another ball handler, but really, Jason, like, I just see Curtis Givens III as a talent. He's a talent. He's got to be molded. He's got to be coached. He's got to be turned into that, but you know, I tell you what, I don't know if there are many coaches I trust more to do that than Penny Hardaway. And Curtis Givens III joins us now. Curtis, man, congrats on the commitment, man. How's everything?
Thank you. Everything's great.
So, Memphis, you know, it's funny. The first time around, everybody thought you were going to Memphis. You didn't. And now you're back on the market. You're making a decision. And ultimately, it does become Memphis this time. What went into the decision for you today?
No, I'm just glad to be back home, and it's a really good feeling. I had a lot of great options on the table, and I'm thankful for the offers, but Memphis is my best option. I've been going home from 3 years now. I've had great experiences, just been out of town on my own, and I'm ready to get better and just help the Tigers have a great season. I just want to spread positivity across the city, on and off the court. I'll be leading the example for, like, all the young kids coming after me. And I'm going to do my best to shine my little light that I have on the city of Memphis. And I just appreciate all the support from 92.9 that they give me, that y'all give me, and all the other media outlets. And just after great conversations with Coach Penny, it feels really good to be a Tiger.
Curtis, can you talk about that relationship with Penny? Because I'm assuming in some places, now Memphis is a little different, but right, I mean, at one point he shows how much he wants you. You make the visit, right? They're recruiting you. You decide to go elsewhere. But clearly that relationship still remained intact. That relationship was still strong. Did you guys still, I mean, you know, to the degree that you could, that relationship, did you still keep in contact? Did Penny always keep the door open? And how far back does it go, Curtis?
I mean, we didn't really keep in contact too much, you know, because I was focused on LSU while I was there. But when I did hit the portal, you know, our relationship still stayed strong. And me and Coach Penny, he contacted me, and, you know, he just let me know how much I was wanted, you know, by him in the city of Memphis. And me and Coach P's, the relationship goes way back since I was a little boy. You know, he used to work me out all the time. So that relationship still stands very strong.
In terms of sort of your fit on the Memphis roster, I know you're familiar with Doug McDaniel, was there at Kansas State in the Big 12 last year, and, you know, he's a primary ball handler. Just how do you sort of see yourself fitting into, you know, what Penny has already put together next season?
I see myself fitting pretty good in with the Tigers next year, especially, you know, with Doug and all the other guys. You know, with Doug being the primary ball handler, you know, I can play off the ball, on the ball, so it really doesn't matter. I'm just ready to just contribute to the Memphis Tigers and, you know, help them to have a great season.
In terms of, and you did, you talked about it, and your dad talked about it too in a couple of local stories, but you've been gone for 3 years. Whether it was at Montverde playing with Cooper, the winner that you were there, or LSU, and John has pointed out, freshman season where you end up playing a lot, had 11 points, 4 assists, 0 turnovers against the national champs in Florida. What you learned in terms of that you'll apply going forward, Curtis, in terms of what you pull out of those 3 years, what's been the best part of it?
The best part of it has just been me just learning to be more poised, you know, because in a game of basketball, in a game of life, there's a bunch of ups and downs, and I just learned to just stay even keel and stay poised through it all.
In terms of, you know, your discussions with Penny and sort of his, you know, vision for you, because you mentioned your versatility. You know, what and I don't know how detailed those conversations have been because, you know, you just committed today, but – you know, what was it about sort of his game plan for you as a player, you know, that made Memphis the right choice for you?
What made Memphis the right choice for me was just the guys that have come before us. It's kind of like proof in the pudding. It's just guys like PJ Haggerty, Jeremiah Martin, you have Kendrick Davis. It's just guards that are really good, that are able to score and distribute the ball really well. And I feel like I fit that category pretty well. And that no one believes in me like Coach Penny does. So that just went into the factor of me making the decision.
I'm sure you're hoping to make, and Tigers fans are hoping to see, you make plenty of memories down at FedEx Forum as a Tiger. But up until this point in your career, we mentioned it, you've been gone for 3 years, but your best hooping memory here in Memphis, in your hometown, what would it be, Curtis, up until this point in your career?
Up until this point, I'd say my favorite hooping memory, probably the days when I was at MUS playing against Christian Brothers. You know, that rivalry still stands strong till today. So I'd say just playing in those games growing up, those are very fun to me.
We're talking to Curtis Givens III, just committed to the University of Memphis this morning. Big time pickup for Penny Hardaway and the Tigers. I talked to your dad this morning briefly, and, you know, one of the things that he talked about was, like, you know, this is Memphis basketball, and you're a Memphis kid. You're from here. You went to MUS, and the importance of sort of bringing Memphis flavor back to Memphis was a big part of that. Can you just sort of speak to, you know, how that feels to you, how important it is to you being from Memphis and wearing that uniform?
Oh yeah, it means everything to me. It means the world to me, you know, just to have family and friends, you know, right here in the backyard. And just, you know, just me, it's really not too much about me. It's trying to, you know, just lead the way for the young kids just coming up, trying to lead the way and show them what's right and be a great example to them. And just, you know, be a great example of, you know, what this city represents. And I want to do that by, you know, wearing the Memphis Tigers jersey on my chest.
Dig that. So will you just get over to Memphis, you know, in the next couple of weeks? Is that kind of the plan to start getting ready in the summer?
Yes, sir. That's the plan.
Sounds good. Hey, man, congrats on
congratulations,
the commitment.
Man.
Appreciate the time, Curtis. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate y'all so much.
Yes,
appreciate
sir.
Appreciate you.
He is Curtis Givens, the third guard committed to the University of Memphis, says he's going to get on right over. That's kind of, again, that's the benefit, right? You got the guys in town, you know, they get right over, they start working. And that's been an important piece the last couple of years. Sometimes guys didn't get here, mm-hmm. and it kind of showed. And then last year, those guys got here early, and it showed. So, but to kind of go back to the point, appreciate Curtis Givens, the third, for joining us. Obviously, very impressive young man. I see him as sort of like, you know, Clay, right? There's a lot of Clay there. There's a lot of talent there. And it's up to Penny's job, you know, to mold that Clay. But I really do think that Memphis really needed an infusion of that on this roster, and not just this year, but also potentially beyond. To have a guy who has multiple, like, legitimately, we don't have to go to court, we don't have to apply for a waiver, multiple years of eligibility. To have that in your roster, if this goes well, I think could be an unbelievable asset for Memphis and Penny.
Yeah, I'm actually more focused on future than I am the right now, although I know that Curtis will see with this roster, with the talent that you're talking about that he is. Yeah, I'm sure there is a spot for him right now, and maybe an impactful one. I've always looked at this with the hopes of it would be a multi-year thing. We've talked about continuity over and over again. I'm hoping Memphis is back and sort of a restarting that's here to stay for a little bit.
Yep.
And you get guys, and it can be transfers, but they've got multiple years. And so whether it's Curtis right now, or I think more importantly, maybe, because you've got a guy right now that's got some experience in terms of that starting ball handler, not saying that Curtis won't challenge for that, but in Doug McDaniel, he can be your point guard of the future. He can be the guy you hand the keys to. That's the hope for me.
Yep.
I would think it's certainly in the plan for Penny Hardaway, is you're my guy. Mm-hmm. You came up my guy. I've known you since you were a kid. I've always wanted to sort of envision handing the keys to you. Right now, we've still got to win big. And if you're the best guy for the job, so be it. But I've got to win right now. And hopefully this poise and patience that Curtis talked about just learning, right, over these last 3 years, poise.
Yep.
Knowing when to take, you know, take your shot, knowing when to pull back, like he's talking about on the court.
Yep.
That's sort of how you're going to apply it in terms of the approach here with Memphis. Because maybe right off the bat, you're not the guy who's starting,
right?
Right. You're not the guy who's necessarily contributing the most. There's a lot of guards here.
There are.
Let's look at this roster. There's
yep.
a lot of guards here.
Yep.
But hopefully, he still sees his future here at Memphis for multiple years. That's what you want him and King Tefford to be playing together for years.
Yeah.
You want this Memphis back and to be helping you, and that continuity. We know what it does. The best teams in the country all have guys that have been there for years. Now, some of that's resources, being able to keep them.
Yep.
But hopefully, the Memphis, in addition to what you're able to provide, you know, he's got these guys here for multiple years.
Yeah.
I see him as the point guard of the future, hopefully.
Yes, exactly. And look, it's a bonus if you get it in the now. Like, maybe he's not your point guard full-time, but maybe he's like your off-ball guard, right? Like, there's a path for him to get playing time there, yep. major playing time.
You need to shoot the ball well if you're going to be the off-ball guard.
There's no question. I mean, and look, you go back and you look at some of his freshman tape, like, he's pretty big. Like, he's a pretty big guard, you know, for his size. Like, he, you know, and I assume he'll get bigger, right? He's got a nice frame, so he can add some strength. I could see him playing on the wing a lot next season, yeah. you know, if that development comes.
He's smooth. He makes good decisions. What Penny needs more of, we talked about it right after the season, was guys who can take care of the ball.
Yep.
Hopefully Curtis Givens, I mean, that's one of his strengths.
Yes, it is.
A good decision maker on the ball. And, again, whether it is this year, I think more importantly in the years to come, you need that right at the front.
Yep.
And at some point, you're going to be handing him the keys, I'm quite sure of it. Because, again, this is a guy that, you know, Penny has sort of brought up, helped bring up, certainly. And I would imagine envisioned at some point as his guy.
Yes.
And so that's, that, you know, if it goes that way, that's awesome. And it will be nice.
Yes.
To sort of have that Memphis back. I hope, listen, I got to say it. I mean, we have dissected some Memphis point guards from Memphis to the point that it's almost been it's some of their parents have said this is painful. I would hope that,
yep,
you know,
yep,
we can all keep it real, sure, but without tearing up Memphis kids, because we can't out of one breath, right? Be we love to have Memphis back, and then not acknowledge how the fan base, and particularly with its own, has been tough, whether it was on Joe, whether it was on Alex Lomax, those folks. And so I hope Curtis is not subject to the same sort of, you know, scrutiny at that kind of level.
Yeah.
And certainly some of it overly critical.
Well, I've seen
Alex Lomax is a winner. He got torn up way more than he should have here.
He did.
The guy won games with his defense. He kept it Memphis the whole time, though, and never seemed to hold it against fans. Some players can't hold up under that.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So my hope is that that doesn't happen to Curtis Givens III if he misses his first eight threes.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, he's not good enough. Because we have a tendency to eat our own as much
as we
want to welcome back our own.
You're right. And I think the family's aware of that. I think they're, I mean, how can anybody that has that's involved in basketball obviously knows like what's being said in Memphis. And
again,
you can't really escape it. So I think, you know, that's obviously but I think there's also an understanding of, listen, like, you know, it is a bottom line business, you know, and the job is to produce. And I saw some people on Memphis Twitter, and again, I know this is the minority, so even me bringing this up is probably ridiculous, but some people were like, oh, no, you know, why do we want, you know, it's ridiculous. Like, because he went to LSU, it was the right decision for him at that time, you know, like, it had more money, more whatever. I mean, SEC. Now you're getting him on the back end. He's picked up that SEC experience. I mean, that's the dream, really, is that you get a chance to now, all right, you've sort of earned some scars in the SEC, the best conference ever, historically last year, statistically. And so now we get a chance to, you know, see what you got against, you know, some SEC, but a lot of AAC.
Yeah.
So I'm optimistic about it, man, to be totally honest with you.
I am too.
I think it's going to be really good for Penny and Memphis. I'm hopeful that it can maybe, you know, start a new trend here with more Memphis going. Fred Smith, we're looking at you, brother. You know what I mean? Like, we're ready to make Memphis basketball again. So I think it's a great development, and you know, I think people will be pleasantly surprised by the talent. I think Memphis just needs, they don't have much multi-year talent. They haven't, you know, over the last few years. So this is unique, really, in a lot of different ways. Getting an SEC transfer with multiple years of eligibility. You know, we talked to Zach Davis. That was like, maybe if the price is right, you know, like,
yeah.
But you have a chance, right? You could bring back Curtis. You could bring back Zach. You could bring back, you know, some other guys. So you got a chance here to do something that you haven't done at Memphis, which is not have to flip the roster every damn year.
I think I like what you said, and it's probably one of the best things about this is that had you gotten Curtis out of Montverde, and he's not contributing to a team that's got P.J. Haggerty and Tyrese Hunter,
yep,
really controlling the ball for most of the time. Where's his role?
Exactly.
Is he playing more than Jared Harris, or is he Jared Harris, who's deciding after a year, right, that didn't work out at Memphis, stayed home, I'm going to go somewhere else and develop and be a player. John's right. It's really best. This was the best case scenario. He goes and gets the development. You're catching him on the other side of playing a full year in the SEC. And again, he's had the experience of, all right, this ain't good for me, I'm transferring out. You're catching him there. It's probably the best thing.
Totally.
In terms of the way it worked out. And yes, I mean, you have to. I mean, he's in an SEC weight room. You know, he's playing against an SEC schedule all year. That what you're going to face in the AAC comes down significantly.
Yep.
So again, whether it's now or in the future, very near future, I see him being a big contributor,
yep.
And yes, I do think when a lot of what Penny preaches is this is the way we do it at Memphis. This is how we did things at Memphis when I played for Finch. We've got to be dogs. We've got to be great. All of that speech, it resonates more when you've got guys from here. Does that mean you need to go back to having a whole team full of guys? No, you're taking the ones that are good enough that fit. That's what matters now. It's a different world now. In terms of the fence, John, it used to be around. We used to talk about the fence. Oh, don't let the gate open. Mm-hmm. It's a different world now. You still want Memphis, but you want good Memphis fits. And for me,
yep,
particularly ones that are going to be here for a few years.
Totally.
I'm hopeful that's the case here.
Totally. So good day for Memphis basketball. And, you know, you got a native son coming back home. So I'm pumped about it, and I think he'll make an impact immediately. I do. I'm a believer in the kid because, you know, I just think if you're scoring 11, you're scoring in double figures against Auburn and Florida, like, there's something there, you know, like, you're going to have a chance. Now, he'll have to earn it. He'll have to go beat out some guys, but, you know, I think it's going to be a good thing for everybody involved. I'm very optimistic. And, again, like, the fact that he's the highest-ranked kid from Memphis to commit to Memphis since Dedrick Lawson is kind of nuts. You know, his high school. I'm not counting Wiseman for obvious reasons, but he was higher ranked than you know, a lot of guys that have come through here. So, good day for the University of Memphis as Curtis Gibbons III makes it official and commits to the Tigers. We'll come back. Jessica Benson's going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to her about the NBA playoffs, Grizzlies, and more. Stick around, Jason and John. 92.9 FM, ESPN. Jessica Benson is the host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt, Grind City Media. During the regular season, she, of course, is on Grizz Radio Network, does it all, joins us every Tuesday, and she joins us now. How's the off season? Like, are you enjoying the off season? Like, where are we?
I had this conversation with somebody over the weekend. I feel like I have finally decompressed from the season and can finally actually enjoy the off season a little bit. Like, the first couple of weeks, you're trying to figure out life without the Memphis Grizzlies again. That all consumes your life for months, and then coming out of that, finally catching up on some sleep and being able to be a real true human being once more. So I was at Smoke Slam this weekend, had a great time there. And then, yeah, now looking forward to the conference finals and everything else that comes with the summer.
Well, we know you're a Grizz first and foremost, but of the final four, who are you rooting for?
I am rooting with my heart, and I am rooting for the New York Knicks, only because I am so desperate to see what would happen to New York City if there was a championship parade for the Knicks in New York. Like, I think they'd have to call in the National Guard. I think it would be one of the most entertaining things that we have ever seen, and I'm not sure they even know how they would function. Now, I actually think that is the least likely of the four teams. The Timberwolves would be at the bottom for me, and then the Knicks. But I like rooting for this Knicks team, which is funny because it's not like Tibbs is the most likable head coach out there, but just the way that Jalen Brunson plays, the way that all of the Villanova guys play together, I like the redemption story for sassy Karl Anthony Towns at this point. And I think they're fun. Well, zesty Karl Anthony Towns. I think they have their hands full with the Pacers, and we'll see if the Pacers are able to just run them into the ground at this point, because I think the Knicks, of all the teams, probably have the most tired of legs going into these conference finals. But I mean, I'm just excited for the finals. But I do think, like, the character of New York City for me is just as big as the four teams competing.
Yeah, I don't know. The president may one day on a whim call in the National Guard anyway. That's not as special for me. But yes, like, there is no question about it. They're rabid. Like, they're so rabid in a way that, like, I mean, obviously it's been what? They haven't won a championship since 1973. They haven't been in the final since 1999. So it's,
they make SEC football fan bases look like totally normal and put together.
No,
and like,
really,
I watched goalposts go into a river, you know?
No, exactly. You're exactly right. They do. They make SEC fan bases look very well behaved. I just think about all those videos where it's like this random dude and he's just like, bleep your mother, Nixon, like, they're just going crazy, you know?
Bing bong.
Yeah, I mean, there's just...
And the random man is Timothy Chalamet. Like, you know,
100%.
You know, everybody
pulled
get
him out of the car.
Yep. I mean, it really is pandemonium.
Like, Mike Lee is just such a sweet celebrity fan to want something good to happen for. Like, he's been there for Ben Stiller. I know not everyone's into the celebrity culture of it, but it is fun with everyone coming out. And I mean, it's such a huge market. And the fact that it has been 50 years since they last got one, I know everybody else hasn't gotten one. So there's, you know, a special factor with that as well. But from a thirsty big market standpoint, there is no fan base thirstier perhaps than those of the Knicks.
Yeah, I loved the pictures and I loved most of the scenes. There was one scene where, I don't know if you saw, but they were throwing trash. Y'all are right. They were throwing trash at the man in the Indiana Pacers.
It's all wrestling. It's all wrestling. And now Tyrese Halliburton has invited him.
He's coming to Indiana, right, or some game three or four or something. I saw that.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's a happy ending for that man. But looked like he might be taking a whooping, too. I couldn't tell what it ended up becoming of him. But certainly, hopefully, he's safe. In terms of OKC, And John and I were discussing, there are some that seem to want to continue, whether it's just a hate, if it's personal, or if it's doubt based on their youth. They're saying this isn't, you know, that youth is going to come back to haunt them. And the fact that they had to go 7 with a Denver team that was as thin as it was is sort of evidence of that. Are you subscribing to that at all, that inexperience? Anthony Edwards has been here, after all, will come back to haunt them and bite them in the end.
I just think the Thunder are such a better constructed team. And even watching the Timberwolves series against the Warriors, I mean, they were a direct beneficiary of Steph Curry getting hurt. And I hate rewriting series, but I watched the first 13 minutes, and, you know, the Warriors have no offense when Steph's not on the court. Like, everything buckles down pretty quickly. But their defense really caused some problems for the Timberwolves, and there was some discomfort. And it took massive performances from Julius Randle, and that's been one of my favorite stories of the postseason, is this reminder of who Julius Randle can be, especially when put in a number two situation next to Anthony Edwards, and can occasionally rise into that number one because all the defensive effort and energy is going towards Anthony Edwards. But can he do that against a bigger team in the Thunder? Because you're able to capitalize against a small Warriors team. You're able to capitalize against a small Lakers team. I am not particularly confident in what I saw from the Timberwolves. Now, like, don't get me wrong. I hope that I am 1,000% inaccurate on this and we get a great long series. But I actually think the Thunder, because of the battles that they went through in that series against the Nuggets, are in a position now where they are able to handle, simply put, what I view as an inferior team. And even with the depth that the Timberwolves have, like, you look at this Thunder team, you're like, God, they could go 9 deep in the playoffs. And sure, maybe the Timberwolves can hit you with some big Naz Reid moments, or maybe Dante DiVincenzo gets hot. But I just think the inconsistencies there don't lend me to really believe that Minnesota has a chance in this series. I think the Thunder, based on what they had to go through against the Nuggets, are in a pretty prime place, and you're again in a series where you don't need SGA to go off for 30-plus a night, which is crazy. Like, you don't need your MVP to be this nightmare force in this matchup. You just need him to be really good and everybody else to rise.
I don't really have an argument. The only way would just be Ant-Man doing the out-of-body Ant-Man thing, right? Which I cannot rule out. I refuse to rule it out. I mean, he's different.
You can't rule it out.
This is the dude that was parading around, you know, crypto.com after beating the Lakers in 5. Like, he's different. Yeah. He's a different dude. So that's the only, like, if he goes supernova, Minnesota can win this. If he's just kind of like,
if he goes supernova, like, I will finally feel, like, really steady in the star that is Anthony Edwards. But I have not seen the consistency from him. If you remember the game where he's doing the laps around crypto, he didn't have a very good game.
Right.
They didn't win that game because of Anthony Edwards.
Right.
Like, you do need him to be Superman. And I certainly think that's within him, but is it something that he can do on a regular enough basis over this 7-game series or whatever it ends up being, to lead Minnesota out of the conference finals, a place that they've been, so they understand what it's like to play here. I'm not sure, and especially going up against the swarm that is the Oklahoma City Thunder defense.
Yeah.
They're going to make it very difficult.
We're talking to Jessica Benson from the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt, Grind City Media. Join us every single Tuesday here on the show. This will be the 7th different champion in 7 years for the NBA. Of course, this is a league that had a real problem, you know, just a decade ago, when it was like every single year you knew it was going to be Cleveland or Golden State. You know, like, it was going to be LeBron and Cleveland, or it was going to be those Kevin Durant, Steph Curry Warriors. And now we are in an era of great parity, where, again, it was Toronto in 19, it was the Lakers in 20, it was Milwaukee in 21, it was Golden State in 22, Denver in 23, Boston last year, and again, new group this year. I mean, as we're in Memphis, I mean, that parity has to make you feel like you have some sort of a shot here, shouldn't it?
Absolutely. Why not? Why not the Memphis Grizzlies next? No, I think it's great. I mean, I saw a wild stat this morning that this is the first Western Conference Finals that doesn't have a team from California or Texas since 1996. And I get that there's 7 teams between those two states, still, I mean, it just shows a shifting of trends and an opening of doors for other teams. Now, you should also be nervous because the Thunder seem to be in a pretty solid position to be a contender in the West based on how they've built up their roster. And I will never not be afraid of Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets, even though now they're in a position of, are you wasting the best player in the world and only having one championship? You have the rising Spurs, saw what the Trailblazers were doing towards the end of the season. But it just, again, shows that it doesn't have to be the biggest names, the biggest markets to ultimately be the team at the end of the season that gets to hoist up that trophy. And if you're a team like Memphis, like you have to see it to think you can be it. And I do think that's a helpful place to be, because it did feel, I mean, even when we're in the middle of the season and the Warriors get Jimmy Butler and the Lakers get Luka Doncic and you're thinking, oh, well, here we go again. It's all but destined to be one of these two teams against the Boston Celtics in the finals. And now all three of those teams are out. They don't have an opportunity. And I think it's fun. I think just anytime there's freshness involved, I hear some people say, oh, there's no big names, there's no big markets, who's going to watch? I think a lot of people will still watch at the end of the day, and I think they'll be rewarded with two really good conference finals matchups between these four teams.
I've always argued against it, and he even was named by his peers most overrated guy in the league, and Tyrese Halliburton.
13 people.
Well, true. But and I've always, you know, when a kid brings it up or what, Ja, Tyrese, no, stop it, Ja. Can we still comfortably say that Ja is ahead of Tyrese Halliburton based on the way that Tyrese has responded, you know, in this postseason, and then the fact that he's out there, right, that he's playing. I saw the piece, and just to throw this in with Harrington, when he's comparing Ja to the numbers of all the top guys and all those, and per 36, it all looks good. Ja's right there, but the problem is it's no more, as Harrington points out, you haven't played more than six games consecutively in 2 years, and so I just, you know, do we have to apply that in the Halliburton Ja discussion?
You have to. It's the availability factor right now. One of those two is playing in the conference finals, and it's Tyrese Halliburton, and he's risen. It's not like his team is there in spite of him. His team is there because of him and because some of the clutch play that he's had and being able to be the connector of the Pacers offensively. And like, sure, if you want to sit here and go through what Ja does on the court versus what Tyrese Halliburton does on the court and be like, oh God, well, Tyrese couldn't do half the crazy things that we used to, how does he do it moments that we get from Ja. But I would love the how does he do it moment of just playing those six games in a row, you know, or being available at the end of the season and not having to. I was just talking with a friend and catching up for the first time, talking about the Grizzlies being eliminated from the postseason. He goes, God, it must have been really tough that John Morant went down and you have to sit here in the what if. And I'm like, yeah, you know what it is. And it continues to be that way. So I hate it. I want to be able to stand here confidently and say, why aren't you talking about Ja when you're talking about Tyrese Halliburton, when you're talking about Jalen Brunson, when you're talking about Anthony Edwards, when you're talking about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But narratives and lore is built in the postseason. It's just a fact of this league. And he has to still be playing this time of year in order to eventually elevate back. Now, like, separated from that, I do think this past weekend was the perfect reminder of his influence with the 100%. Ja 2 Kool-Aid collab and all the kids wanting it. And, you know, I heard from people I haven't heard from in years being like, my son is obsessed with Ja. Do you have access to these shoes? And I'm like, no, go to Foot Locker. try to find them yourself. But ultimately, just the reminder that even though, like, we get in the weeds of talking about him in comparison to his peers, and perhaps they've elevated from a still playing in the playoffs, on the offside, there is, I would liken to say, no more popular athlete amongst kids than Ja Morant.
I agree.
I think it just continues to grow.
Why you got a lot of those parents, though? Like, you ain't got access to those shoes. I mean, you ain't got a lot.
I don't have those shoes. I'm just like Jason.
You
I'm
didn't
out
get a pair?
Find them.
You didn't get a pair?
I did not get a pair.
Drew Hill got a pair. I saw it on TikTok.
Me too. It popped up on my, you may be interested in.
Yeah. Oh, you damn right I'm interested in.
Man, Nike took very smartly leaned in. You see that part in the ingredients that said controversy occasionally or whatever?
I mean, I didn't see that.
That just makes the kids want, you know, like embrace
exactly.
it. You know what I'm saying? They're so smart to lay into that.
Yes, and it's so cheeky, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, it's like, oh, you can get in a little trouble, too. Because, like, no one's perfect. And then having the Kool-Aid man with the grenade celebration was just icing on the cake. Like, 10 out of 10 marketing plan and everything that went into it. And it will just inspire 8 million more Ja TikTok edits from the children.
Go ahead, Ja. Can you explain to me, Jess, and this will be our arts and entertainment portion of the segment, why the paparazzi over at the Cannes Film Festival feel like they can get so handsy and touchy with Denzel Washington. Have you seen that clip and read the stories?
No.
Yes. This
You're beating me on the story.
This popular Cannes Film Festival, Denzel's there with Spike, you know, and he's getting, the guy's grabbing him, and Denzel is telling him to stop, and the guy's smiling and laughing as Denzel's telling him to stop, and you can tell he's going to like his creasy man on fire equalizer, sort of straightening this dude out. And then when he stops, the guy still tries to touch him and grab him, and Denzel has to pull his arm away from him. The paparazzi at the Cannes Film Festival, the rabid like Knicks fans.
Didn't they learn from Britney Spears? They ruined everything, you know? Those paparazzi are crazy. The Cannes Film Festival has been crazy between that, and they made these rules that you can't be nude on the red carpet, which seems like a pretty normal rule, but I'm really curious why they felt the need to put it in writing.
Who broke
and then I
that?
Guess they also said that like women can't have trains that are too long that get in the way or impedes other people walking around them, so people had to do all these last-minute dress changes. But I don't know. I think if Denzel Washington asked me to stop doing anything, I would stop immediately.
Who broke the nude rule?
I don't know. That's what we got to find out.
Okay.
I think it was honestly. I think it was a fear in response. Remember when Kanye or Ye?
Oh yes.
His wife showed up to the Grammys
naked.
In that outfit.
Naked.
Yeah.
Basically.
I think they
yes.
were like, we can't have one of
that's
these here.
Exactly
we are Cannes Film Festival.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
proactive.
I was disgusted. Yeah. I was completely disgusted by that. I was so insulted by that.
Oh, I'm sure.
They some fools.
I'm being serious. I was very offended by that. But I just had to make sure that it was what I was seeing was it was real. You know, because there's this AI is. By the way,
AI's a crazy thing.
I know this is like a random thing to ask you about, but like, you know, you and I came up in the. In the real internet age, you know, and so like the internet is not new to us. Like we didn't have to learn how to use it. Like we just did it, right? But even today, like I feel like that the AI is like our it for us. You know, that's what we're having to learn. And I saw. I don't know if you've seen this account, but I stumbled upon this AI Memphis Tigers account, and it's just this brother, this fake brother who is breaking down the roster, and he's like, you know. Making up names that aren't even, you know, on the like Pudah Walker and I don't know what the end game is. I don't even know if it's like Elon Musk behind it. Have you seen it? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I have not seen it.
You got to go, and it's okay.
Now
like,
I'm gonna go look it up.
I know that this is benign. I know this use case is completely benign, but it just you know my mind just goes to like if people believe this is real. And they will.
Oh, yeah.
Where
no,
this could turn malevolent very quickly.
This has been, funny enough, there must be something like the millennial brain space where we're just feeling really eerie about AI this week because I've had this conversation with more people in the last week than I have, period. But just this idea of, as it continues to get better and better, the scariness of not being able to truly trust what you see. You already struggle with that. I mean, we joke about like NBA Centel all the time, and that's not AI, but that's just really testing your media literacy. And are you making sure the source of what you're seeing something is true? And do you not jump to conclusions? But then you throw on top like videos that look truly real. And unless you look for specific signs, like if someone has six fingers or something, you don't know that it's a fake. And even like my dad, we were talking after the Nuggets lost to the Thunder. And I did their post game, and he called me. And he goes, "I saw a video, and it has to be AI. But I just want to check with you: did Nikola Jokic call out Russell Westbrook after the game and tell him to get ready to play in China next year?" And I was like, "No, that absolutely did not happen."
No, it's
and
like
he said,
it's...
"I saw a video that looked so real."
Yeah,
and I said, "Oh, that is terrifying to me."
No, because you know what's going to happen is that like these scammers that currently like may call you or something like they're going to get access to voices. I mean, it's honestly
they
so
have.
Yeah.
Those
it's
people
so
who get
scary.
Calls, like older people who get calls from like their grandchildren or their children,
yep.
And they say, "I'm in jail. I was drunk driving and hit someone with my car. You need to pay $50,000 to get me out of jail right now." And like a parent goes into crazy mode, or like I'm being held hostage, and they send the money immediately without thinking about it.
Totally.
They send the money because they're trying to
do
something for their kids. Yeah, no, it's if you really get into the weeds of reading some of these interviews with people who have left their AI companies, like a guy who worked for OpenAI and are trying to ring the alarm bells of the fact that this computer, the growth that it's seen in the last 3 years is incredible, but in the next 2 years could be at levels that we as humans will not really know what to do with. Like, no, it will go from AI operating as an assistant where you have to give them directions to them being able to perform tasks without any prompt at all.
The willingness of people to basically hand over their entire existence to AI is crazy to me. Like, I just don't, again, it's very terrifying. I saw, like, Bill Gates said today, in 10 years, it'll be a 2-day work week because humans will not be needed for the five.
And if you're not needed for the five, what are you needed for?
Yeah. I don't think people realize, like, how radical,
womp,
you know.
Womp, womp. Really comforting stuff. Yeah. Really comforting stuff.
But, again, the account that I found was Carlos901 Tigers. That's
okay, and it's fake?
Oh, it's totally fake. But it's like, what is this? What's going on here? You gotta go find it after we're done here. You'll see what I mean.
Wait, I've seen this.
Yeah. And it's like got the whole edits. He's talking about his favorite player is Quante Barry. He talks about Quante Barry in every damn video, you know. And it's like, who's doing this? Like, what's the end game?
Hassan Abdul Hakim.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's like I don't. Again, we're gonna play it on the show because it's just it's crazy. It's funny, but I don't know what the end game is. So, you know, I'm sure that fan bases around the country are probably gonna have some of these pop up. But you know, Memphis is your home for AI, right? We got another. Got another big ass facility coming.
I saw we got another one coming.
Yeah. So.
Just keep my water clean. That's all I'm asking.
I know that's right.
That's all I'm asking.
And then your human review of Smoke Slam. You mentioned you were down there.
Oh, I had the best time. I try to share anytime that something like this happens. But we have a friend in town, and he hasn't visited since 2017. And we took him to Smoke Slam all 3 days, and he's like ready to join a Smoke Slam team.
Beautiful.
He lives in Los Angeles. Yes. He wants to come back every year. And just, he said, you know, the hospitality down here, the willingness of people to be kind, to be inclusive, to share their barbecue, to share their fine alcohol down on the river for just a really enjoyable couple of days in a party like atmosphere. It was great. One of the best things about Smoke Slam that so many people still don't understand is if you get a general admission ticket, you can get these free samples from some of like the best barbecuers or best smokers in the country and the world, and you can eat good without knowing a soul.
Right.
Like, when I first moved here, the like fraternity of Barbecue Fest was really intimidating.
You had to be invited and be in the tent. Exactly.
Which is very cool. Like, don't get me wrong. Once
you
get to the point where you know people and you can bop around, but you know, and that excludes a lot of people.
It wasn't
and
for
so.
You.
Yeah, to be able to come down and actually eat good food and you can get drinks and still have that experience, I think, is a special thing. I dream of a world where our barbecue fest can come back together and all get along peacefully on the river.
Totally.
Because when you have that smell of barbecue in the air and you're like looking out at the Mississippi, there's nothing more beautiful than that. And I hated not being able to see my friends at the other one, but I'm lazy and I'm not going to get in my car and no drinking and driving over here, you know?
That's right.
I'm with you.
Well, you could just not drink. You know, have you ever thought about that? I mean...
Well, John, I don't know if you've ever been to... Yes, you are absolutely correct.
Yeah,
we made that life decision.
Exactly.
Well.
But, you know, I mean, again, accountability.
Barbecue for all.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't think you got paid for that Smoke Slam endorsement, but there was something that you were
getting.
You were getting paid for something, though, because I'm watching your pockets. There was some event you were promoting on your Instagram. What was it? What's coming up?
No.
Oh, no. You didn't get paid? Okay, my bad.
Oh, I just did that out of the kindness of my heart. They were having some social media sharing issues, but there is a. God, where is it? It's at the medical district on Wednesday from like 5 to 8, I think. And it's a edge district party.
Yes.
And it's called Strange Ways Wednesdays at the medical district park. But there's so many food vendors from the area. I'm not even going to be able to go, but I was asked if I would share it to see if more people would see about it and understand that you
That's
can come
amazing.
Out and have a good time. So
I can't believe I accused you of taking currency for that. I apologize.
You accused me.
My bad.
And it is funny though, because when I posted it on Instagram like came back and was like, this looks like an ad. And due to our rules and regulations, you need to put that this is a paid promotion. And I was like, okay, I don't feel like fighting this, but no payment here. just kindness in my heart.
And you know what? You do this for the love of the game. You're a real and true Memphian.
Real philanthropist.
We sincerely do appreciate your time every single week. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Jess.
I'll talk to you guys later.
Yep. She is Jessica Benson. Joins us every single Tuesday here on the show. So it wasn't just me. Instagram thought it was an ad as well. So it's good to see the sniffer still working. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You just have to, you know, properly address that. Now, you guys heard me talking about this new beat reporter that we apparently have in Memphis. That is AI generated. This is what I'm talking about. This is how it sounds.
Memphis fans, buckle up. This roster flips wilder than a FedEx Forum buzzer beater. After losing nearly every key player from last year's 29-win squad, Penny Hardaway's rebuilding like his job depends on it, and maybe it does. New faces, try a whole new identity. Transfers Pudel Walker and Chase Carter bring SEC-sized defense, while Jaden Thompson scoring 20 nightly in practice. But here's the real talk. Can this mashup of stars from Kennesaw State, Harvard, and Michigan out-hustle the AAC's beast? One thing certain, Danger's double-doubles and Haggerty's heroics are gone. Now it's showtime for former Nevada QB Brendan Lewis to run point. Dude's got wheels, but can he read defenses like a playbook? So Tiger Nation, smash that comment section. Is this roster reload genius from the panic mode? Your move, Memphis.
Man, what kind of crack is that AI on? That man went from Harvard to Michigan. Pudel Walker. Who is Pudel Walker? Who is Pudel Walker? Chase Carter bring SEC size events and QB Brent Lewis got wheels. Now, you see what I'm saying? We're monitoring.
I mean, I don't think we have to be worried about that.
No, that AI
have to do some upgrades and do 2.0.
That AI is remedial. There's no doubt about it.
Why does he sound like he's got sleep apnea?
I don't know, bro. I don't know.
But they made it. I mean, he sounds like a heavy set.
Well, yeah, they got the whole it's a heavy
set. Amazing.
Dude, that's on the video.
Sounds like he snores.
Yep.
You can hear it.
Yep.
That part's scary.
And then he starts rambling about Memphis panic mode. What in the world are you talking about, man?
That's just a bunch of lines, you know.
Yeah.
FedEx Forum buzzer beater.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
He's on the account is Carlos 901 Tigers. And again, no threat to Parth yet. You never know. You know,
these things get smarter quickly.
Give him a couple software updates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could be coming for us, man. Is this like a Tiger fan? Is this like an X thing that they're just trying with fans? I don't know. Like, I truly don't know the answer. Everything on social media now, I have an eyebrow up about. It's like, this is not real. This is AI. This is ChatGPT. I don't like it. I can't say I like it. But, yeah, Brendan Lewis going to be a big-time contributor for the Tiger basketball team next year. Penny just keeps it rebuilding, man.
It's been a minute since we had the two sport.
Yeah, it has. Sam Kraft.
Sam Kraft.
Who I occasionally will see. He's still around Memphis. I'll occasionally see him when I get, you know, a chance to play that noon game that I used to play it all the time.
He'll working out with his son all the time.
Yeah.
He's got a little junior coming up.
Yep. Man, Sam Kraft, unbelievable guy.
Yep.
Just the nicest guy ever. He would never have an AI account like this. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into the Western Conference finals tonight. Fade Brad, Memphis got a commitment. Lots to get to. Stick around. Jason and John, 929 FM, ESPN.